have increased the variety as well as tonnage of the vessels. So hopefully, we expect more countries to join the drills in the future, especially regional states.
Admiral Irani also stated that regional nations have the capacity to confront piracy and terrorism by enhancing cooperation.
The exercises are the latest in joint drills by Iran, China, and Russia. Iran says regional countries are most welcome to take part in the drills that are going to take place in the future. The Islamic Republic has time and again stressed that regional countries are the ones that are truly in charge of establishing security in the region. Mahdi Abbasian, Konarak.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, rid the burdens of your sins. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's an honor to be here on A to Z. We are talking about ridding ourselves of the burdens of sins. So, you know, sometimes we have a tendency, well, usually we have a tendency to not really understand what sins are. Of course, you know, we don't have so much time on the program to be able to talk about all the various different variables about sins, but I guess if we talk about the very essence of sins, it is in reality disobeying the commandments of the Almighty Allah. And it is this disobedience to the Almighty Allah and this rebellion against the Almighty Allah which we call sins. And of course, they have various different forms. Now, there are certain things that sins do to us. You know, one of the things is that if the soul or the heart is this white piece of paper, or this white parchment, this white piece of cloth, what sins do is that they create a dark spot upon that. And then the more sins that we commit, God forbid, then the more black spots are added to that white piece of paper. Eventually, if, God forbid, things become really, really bad, then what happens is that that white piece of paper is completely filled with black, and there is very little white left. In general, my dear brothers and sisters, listeners, we have to be very careful of sins. We need to stay as far away as we can from sins. You know, many a times we are in full control of what we are doing, and many a times we know fully well what it is that we are doing. And despite knowing these things, and despite understanding that we are disobeying the Almighty Allah, and that we are rebelling against the Almighty Allah, who really has given us so much that we should be ashamed to be rebelling and disobeying Allah, we still end up doing these sins.
رمضان المستبين جاء بالنور المبين رمضان 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 القانتين.
Welcome back. This is A2Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about ridding ourselves from the burden of sins. Now, sins, as we said, are the, in essence, the disobedience to the Almighty Allah, and it can occur in various ways, in various forms, and via various means. So already we have opened up three different chapters just within this one chapter of sins. Now, we won't talk about them because we don't have time. So, of course, I guess perhaps it would be nice to give a hint, but, you know, sins in the various forms can either be not doing what is wajib and obligatory, or doing that which is forbidden and haram. On the other hand, it has various different aspects and via different methods. We can do it physically via our actions or via our thoughts, and of course via different means that are available to us. So for example, we can use the internet to search for inappropriate images or videos, or we can download music which is inappropriate, and vice versa. So anyways, these are sins. Now, the holy month of Ramadan, this is what we want to get to. This holy month is a month which teaches us and guides us when it comes to Islamic lifestyle. It helps us to spend 30 days building and renewing and strengthening our Islamic lifestyle. It is the most excellent opportunity to ask for forgiveness and do istighfar and plead the Almighty Allah for His mercy and His compassion. He is the all-merciful, He is the all-compassionate, He is the most quick to forgive, and we have hope in Allah's forgiveness, but of course Allah's forgiveness comes about if we regret what we did and we sincerely repent, and the holy month of Ramadan is the month for repentance.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
ایمان را در خودتون تقویت بکنید، ایمانی که هم در اینجا شما را شرافتمند می کند و هم در پیشگاه حق آبرو دارید و با آبرومندی وارد می شید به تخت اعلی.
In the path of the Imam.
In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. If you remember, we said that a review of Imam Khomeini's views, scientific works and behavior indicate that a very effective and important source of his success was his sincerity. In other words, Imam Khomeini did all his deeds absolutely for God's satisfaction, and he never thought of what others would think or like. To be more clear, the great leader of the Islamic Revolution only tried to fulfill his obligations and avoid forbidden acts. He used to warn that being trapped by satanic temptations stems from the lack of sincerity. He used to call on the youth to have sincerity and do everything for God's sake. It is good to give an example to show his sincerity. Years before the Islamic Revolution, a book was written by Ahmad Hekamizadeh, which was an evident insult to Islam and Muslims. The book was titled Asrar Hezar Saleh, meaning 1,000 Year Secrets. The Imam wrote a book titled Kashful Asrar, meaning Exposure of Secrets, to show the true intention of the author and to negate the profane content of the book. But surprisingly, Imam Khomeini didn't let the publisher write his name on the book. Yet, this very act made the Imam famous among the ulema and the faithful. This is an obvious instance of the hadith which reads, Whoever is for Allah, Allah will be for him. Another outstanding characteristic of Imam Khomeini was that he hated and even got angry with being praised. He used to say that God will reward our deeds if we have done them for him. So there is no need to seek people's praise and satisfaction. Many memoirs have been mentioned on his severe reaction against those who tried to extol him. Another merit of the Imam was that he followed his great ancestor, the Prophet of Islam, to greet people in advance. In other words, he used to be the first to greet whomever he encountered. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, was also apologetic if he made a mistake. This modest characteristic made him great in the eyes of others. At times, he would even seek apology for what he was not guilty of. And in fact, it were some of the officials who had come short of their duties and caused problems for the government or the people. He was so modest that he had ordered the officials to refrain from mentioning his name much on TV and radio, and speak of the successes and honors of the nation and the Islamic Revolution instead. Another merit of Imam Khomeini was his sociability and good behavior with all walks of life. According to the Islamic teachings, a faithful should be smiling while facing others. This was very clear in the Imam's contact with others, except those who were the avowed enemies of Islam and the hypocrites. Imam Khomeini used to smile even at the most critical and toughest junctures of the eight-year war. The friends, pupils, and relatives of the Imam say that he had even a sense of humor in gatherings and his classes. This might look contradictory in a man who was so strict, resolute, and uncompromising against the enemies. But it is a characteristic of great men of history like Imam Ali, peace upon him. And Imam Khomeini was a true follower of Imam Ali. Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, was very patient at tough conditions and pains. This was evident during several times of his surgeries. Another high virtue of the Imam was his control of anger. In other words, he was very forbearing and would never get angry for personal issues. The Imam was patient in the face of those who had disrespected him, but would be very harsh at those who insulted Islam or an Islamic value. Imam Khomeini was very brave and decisive and would not fear anyone or any power when defending Islam. He was also very wise, orderly, and disciplinary in handling different daily issues. This did not mean rigidity, but it meant that he deemed high importance to the time of his pupils and anyone who wanted to see and contact with him. He used to instruct young students of seminaries to stick to orderliness and discipline in their courses and activities. He would also emphasize the importance of respecting the teachers and great ulama who had left behind very precious books and trained great generations of seminary students.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi
ardi. Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So we are here in the holy month of Ramadan. What a wonderful and blessed month to be able to witness, and all thanks to the grace and the blessings of the Almighty Allah. Of course, life and death is in the hands and in the power of Allah. So ultimately, we should be really grateful that Allah has given us the opportunity to be able to witness another holy month of Ramadan. One of the things that really we should try to do in our lives in general, and especially as a Muslim and as especially as a Shia, is to always have a positive outlook on life, to have a positive outlook on religion, to have a positive outlook really about as many of the positive things in our lives. Of course, it is a little bit difficult, you know, to be positive about certain tragedies that are happening across the world, whether it is the Palestinian people who really are suffering from a tragedy which really breaks the heart. It is very difficult to find any positive aspect in this. But of course, a positive aspect is that those people are resisting and those people are fighting for their rights. And of course, sometimes the things that happen, you know, there are repercussions to those things, consequences, sacrifices to be made. One very quick thing, though, before we continue, having a positive outlook does not mean being naive. So, for example, an individual has a positive outlook that, well, what's happening are sacrifices in Palestine that are going to be made in order to achieve a greater, higher result. So we don't need to do anything about it. No, having a positive outlook means to have hope, but it also should be a motivator, for us to do something, to make a change. And so, yes, there are positive things to some of the negative things that are happening in our life, but that does not mean that we become naive or ignorant and not do anything about it. Kind of changing tracks, we find in the holy month of Ramadan, you know, we go and we meet people in this holy month. We go to community suhoor, for example, in the pre-dawn meal, or we go to community iftars in the evenings, or perhaps on the weekends or on our day offs. We go and we meet the other Muslim brothers and sisters. We find Imam Ali alayhi salam in one of his traditions. He talks about this thing. Now, when we talk about the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, we have to remember that the traditions that they speak about, these traditions, especially the moral and ethical manners and behaviors, these are all aspects of the imams themselves, right? Because they wouldn't tell us to do something that they aren't doing themselves, especially when it comes to these moral and ethical virtues, right? So here, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he talks about how when you meet one another, you know, brothers meeting other brother, believing brothers, believing sisters meeting other believing sisters, at least with the brothers, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that you should shake hands with one another. And I will add, if it is appropriate in the cultural context, you should hug one another. Again, you know, the believing brothers with the brothers and the believing sisters with the sisters. And that not only should they shake hands with one another, they should be cheerful. You know, they should smile. They should be happy. And that an individual, you know, who does that, when they part from one another, all of their sins are forgiven. So what a beautiful thing for us to be inculcate in our interactions in this holy month of Ramadan. A beautiful lesson indeed brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثناي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائك بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties. The aim of my desires the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master, and my Lord. Welcome, my friends. Keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء
And now we invite you to listen to Fayaz Ja'far.
Malik al-Ashtar is of this unique station in the eyes of the commander of the faithful Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And according to historians, Malik al-Ashtar's family comes from Yemen. And he is given the title al-Ashtar because in the battle of Yarmouk under the commandment of Umar ibn al-Khattab, Malik al-Ashtar went out and fought, and in the midst of the battle, he was struck in either his right or his left eye with a sword or with a spear, and that left a mark on the eye of the companion of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. And when someone has a scar on top of their eye, in classical Arabic language, they would say that someone was given the title al-Ashtar. But Malik al-Ashtar's most unique station and relationship with the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, of course, came during the Battle of Siffin. And to put it into a very unique perspective, and to try to explain exactly the unique station of this particular great companion of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, we have to again understand it in terms of the climate that we're living in. Who was Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen fighting in the Battle of Siffin? He was fighting the army of Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan. And per the custom of that time and per the reports of the historians, what would happen was that there would be many different flanks of the army of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, as there were many different contingencies of the army of Muawiyah. And the battle would be fighting simultaneously one-to-one. So for instance, there was a battle taking place on the right wing, and another battle taking place on the left wing, and another battle taking place in the middle. And Malik al-Ashtar, who was the commander of the army of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, the flag bearer of the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, was piercing through the army one by one of the right wing of the army of Muawiyah until he's almost able to reach the tent of Muawiyah. And in reality, Malik al-Ashtar was just a couple of people away from putting his sword into the tent of Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan, when all of a sudden, as we know, the army of Muawiyah, they went, they took the Qur'ans, put them on top of the spears. The whole story we know, where Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he would respond, "Ana Qur'an al-Natiq, I am the speaking, the talking, the walking Qur'an. Why are you submitting toward the tactics of Muawiyah?" At this moment, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen sends one of his companions toward getting toward Malik al-Ashtar. Eventually he reaches Malik al-Ashtar and he says, "Oh Malik, Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam says that you have to return back." In reality, he was probably just moments away from going one-to-one with Muawiyah himself. And imagine the pain in the heart. He's about to fight against the man who is the greatest tyrant in human history, yet without any sort of hesitation, in absolute submission toward the words of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, he puts his sword away and he turns around. That's what makes Malik Malik, a man who at the moment of the word or of the statement of the Imam of his time, he's ready to submit to what he has to say.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Iranian weapon. Part 1.
Kuwait was the main financier of Saddam's war against Iran, but Saddam miscalculated. Kuwait was not like Iran for the United States and the West to remain silent in the face of an attack on Kuwait. The U.S. president immediately reacted.
The United States and its coalition allies are committed to enforcing the United Nations resolutions that call for Saddam Hussein to immediately and unconditionally leave Kuwait. In view of the Soviet initiative, which very frankly we appreciate, we want to set forth this morning the specific criteria that will ensure Saddam Hussein complies with the United Nations mandate.
These were the moments when a limited war broke out between the U.S. and Iraq over Kuwait, which ultimately led to complete sanctions on Iraq. To the extent that Saddam was forced to destroy all his missiles and declare the location of all his defense facilities to the West. Saddam implemented all the tasks that the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, dictated to him and didn't even know that the new U.S. president was going to attack him without getting a U.N. approval.
Involve Saddam Hussein.
This president is the son of the president who had attacked Iraq in the past.
To the American people. And we got to deal with him. We got to deal with him before it's too late.
Now Saddam is here and is walking among these children without even knowing that they have plans for him out there. The Americans brought this special fighter jet to their secret base in Saudi Arabia. As these aircraft take off, Saddam's days are numbered. But Saddam does not know anything about the U.S. F-117s. He is with the nomads who support him, so they feast in front of him. Saddam was seriously harmed in the previous war with Bush Sr.
Mr. Bush, welcome!
But he still relies on his defense systems. No electronic warfare system could fail the systems during the war between Egypt and Israel. Even Iran's American Phantoms could not easily escape from the grip of this air defense. However, the U.S. winning card was secretly in test flights in the American secret bases in Saudi Arabia, and Saddam was totally unaware of it. A sort of radar-evading fighter jets that were supposed to break records. Russian and Iraqi mid-range air defense systems stood no chance against these bombers. It seemed that Saddam would soon be done away with. F-117s, this black shadow, will take its first serious test here in Iraq's Mesopotamia. Finally, the anticipated night arrived. The F-17s departed from Saudi Arabia at 2200. Saddam is here. He's giving a speech to senior members of the Iraqi Ba'ath Party. In order to disturb the thinking of the Iraqi defense commanders, American warships started firing missiles at Baghdad from the Persian Gulf. Iraq did not have a proper defense to destroy the missiles. The Americans launched more than 700 fighters and bombers after the F-117s took off.
the largest air raid since the end of the World War II began. If the F-117 succeed, the bombing will finish off Iraq. But if they fail, the Iraqi defense systems will inflict the biggest defeat on the U.S. in its history. The Americans are still not confident that they will achieve victory, so they send their Apache helicopters to shoot at Iraqi defenses at the border. Everyone is supposed to divert attention of the Iraqi commanders so that the F-117s can strike all the defense systems. Suddenly, the sky of Iraq turns red. The anti-aircraft batteries are heavily at work, but no rockets are still being fired. The shadow is not detected yet, and the shots are blindly fired. The F-117 opens its belly, and the bombs are dropped on the defense systems. That's all. It's a coup de grace. The attack by 700 bombers begins. The Iraqi radar system used a method of sending radar waves towards the aircraft, which would then bounce back and identify the type of flying object. But the F-117's fuselage is made of radar-absorbing materials known as RAM. These waves ensured that the F-117 was never detected and could easily attack its targets. Saddam may have been thinking about it when he was being held captive by the American soldiers. Why wasn't a single missile fired from its defenses towards the American aircraft? Iraq easily falls, and many countries around the world are watching the fall. One of these countries is Iraq's neighboring country to the east, Iran. The people of Iran were as disgusted with Saddam as the people of Iraq. Saddam's fall did not upset them, but what caused concern was America's decisive success in the battle against Saddam. Iran had to learn lessons from this battle in order to stand against the U.S. After America's first attack on Iraq in 1990, Iran realized that if another battle were to occur in the region of West Asia, it would not be a battle between two neighbors. The era of proxy wars has ended, and this time the superpower itself will attack the countries. The fall of Afghanistan and Iraq is evidence of this situation. These days, American TV channels broadcast these images very often. America's show of force in occupying any country it wants. These are symbols of the 1,000 cruise missiles that the U.S. launched into Iraq. Iraq is not a vast country. If 1,000 cruise missiles escaped from Iraq's radar systems and hit the targets, why can't Iran be invaded by the same method? Iran is an extensive land, full of mountains and plains. It is the best place to use cruise missiles. To hit a cruise missile, special radar systems are needed at low and very high altitudes. These air defense batteries are also the first step in the fight against cruise missiles. The sky must be turned into a fire before rockets are targeted. Only after having the radar to detect this terrible shadow, it is necessary for a missile to reach this height and hit the black monster. That's right before the hatch of its bomb opens and the monster falls on the people on Earth. These bombers take off in the U.S. and hit their targets in other continents. Phantom fighters, the symbol of the U.S. power. A massive aircraft behind which all arrogant and colonial power of the U.S. is entrenched. The U.S. has returned to the era before the 20th century, to the days when the colonists themselves invaded directly other countries. Iran is the only independent country in the world among the countries that America has declared enmity against. It was not affiliated with the former Soviet Union, nor is it willing to surrender. Breaking Iran can serve as an important lesson for the world.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all over the world. Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah Almighty inshallah bless us in this holy month, and may you inshallah include us in your du'as as well. Welcome to IRB English Radio. Let's recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and I'm glad to let you know that we have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider with us today in this session. Everyone, salam alaikum. Hussein, salam, how are you?
Alaikum salam, sir.
Are you good? Alhamdulillah. How are you doing with Ramadan?
That's good, sir.
Good? Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Good. Good. And Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah, mashallah. And Fawad? Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 51 from Surah Al-A'raf. On page 156, the last ayah, right?
Yep.
In that page.
Yes.
All right. Brothers and sisters, turn to page 156. Bottom of the page, Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 51. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم ننساهم كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا وما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون.
Great recitation, mashallah. So I think Fawad is ready to recite this ayah once for us.
Yes.
But before that, let's explain it a bit, okay? Then Fawad is going to recite it, inshallah. So, ayah 51, Surah Al-A'raf. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah Almighty says, الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. So, in the previous ayah, we learn about the inmates of the hellfire. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابٌ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. So the inmates of the hellfire were calling out to the inmates of heaven. They were calling out the inmates of heaven, and they were asking to them if they could give them some water or something, that Allah Almighty has blessed the inmates of heaven. But they said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى
الْكَافِرِينَ.
So who are kafirin? Faithless. Allah Almighty is explaining this in this ayah. Kafirin.
Like, who is a kafir?
Yeah, who is a kafir? Or who are they that Allah Almighty has حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that Allah Almighty has what? Forbidden them upon the kafirin, the faithless. Who are they? Allah Almighty says الَّذِينَ اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا. Those who took their religion for diversion and play. It means they were making fun of their religion. And then Allah says وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا. And whom, the kafirin or the unbelievers, are those whom the life of the world has had deceived them, and they have forgotten the life of
hereafter.
That's why فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا. So today in the day of judgment, Allah says, we will forget them as they have forgot the encounter, the facing of this day of theirs. As they forgot the day of judgment, today we'll forget them. We don't care about them. We let them receive what they deserve. وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجْحَدُونَ. And as they used to deny our signs. Alright, guys, that's it. Now we will listen to a beautiful recitation from Fawad. Then we'll explain the Tajweed rules, inshallah. So, here we go. Fawad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
أحسنت.
الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا
ما شاء الله
فاليوم ننساهم كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا.
You can start from كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا.
كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا وما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون.
Ahsant. Thank you so much, Fawad. Thank you. Alladhina takhadhu. All right. Let's practice the tajweed rules and the recitation. So, alladhina, the pronunciations are very important. Ali Nasir, could you tell us the letters to pay attention to?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have dhal.
Dhal, brothers and sisters. Dhal is important. Pronounce it correctly with the tip of your tongue. Al.
Ladina,
Ladina. All right.
Then we have.
Just give it a bite, okay?
Yeah.
Ladina. Practice this sound. It's easy.
But
go
don't
on.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, bite your tongue a bit. Make sure not hurt very hardly. Takhadhu again.
Then we have kha.
Kha kha. Takhadhu kha. Heavy sound. Good job.
We have ha.
Ha. Very softly. Just breathe out. Dinahum.
Yeah, then we have Ayn.
Ayn. Ayn. Do not get it wrong with the Hamza.
Hamza.
A'udhu. Hussein, say that.
A'udhu.
A'udhu. Right.
Then we have Ghain.
Gha, the same as Kha. They are
heavy.
Heavy letters. Gha. Gha. All right.
Then we have ra.
Ra, ra, also a heavy letter. Gharra, gharra.
Yes, we have ha.
Ha, mm-hmm.
Then we
and
have qaf.
Qa, qa, liqa. It's a heavy letter, the same as gha and kha.
Yeah, and that's it.
Ha.
Did he say wow?
Wow is also important.
No, yeah,
because
wow.
Yeah, yeah, wa, wa, not va. Very good, no. It's well, we, we, wa, okay? What? So the wa sound. Thank you, Ali Nasir.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Two, 3 points are here about the Tanween and Noon Sakin. One of them is lahwan wa la'iban. Fawad is going to explain them.
So there's a Noon Sakin or Tanween rule here. And two words, lahwa.
Lahwan is a has a Tanween.
Lahwan and la'iban.
La'iban.
Yes.
So words ending with? Ending
Tanween.
In? Tanween.
Yeah, so here two letters matter, which come after them. Both have waw.
Yeah, that so, one, there is a waw after it. Wa yes. La'iba, all right?
And also, it comes after la'iban too.
All right.
Wa gharratum. So, the letter waw is from the yarmalun letter categories, which belongs to the idgham rule.
Idgham rule, good job.
Yes, so we connect lahwaw and also wa la'ibaun.
Ah, you merge them then.
Yes.
How do you do that, Hussein?
Lahwaw wa la'iban.
Lahwaw wa la'iban. Hassan, read it after me. Lahwaw wa la'iban.
Lahwaw wa la'iban.
Ahsan, everyone. Lahwaw wa la'iban.
Lahwaw wa la'iban.
Ahsan, that's it. Extend the sound for two counts. وَغَرَّتْهُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Hassan, tell us about that jim on the top of the word dunya. On the top of dunya. Tell us.
It said you're allowed to stop.
Allowed to stop. Good job. It gives you permission, yes?
Yes.
Good. فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَاهُمْ. I remember Fawad. Just read it with a hiding sound on noon. Nansahum. What is that rule, Ali Nasir?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. What is ikhfa?
Hiding the rule that Fawad always reads correct.
So it means you make mistakes with the other rules?
The only rule.
The only rule. Alright, but Fawad is so good at tajweed, mashallah. Everyone is good here, alhamdulillah.
Salawat.
Because you got a good helper with you.
Yes. You have a good sir.
Okay. Ali Nasir, nansahum, you hide the sound. It's because of, you hide the sound of noon sakin.
Yes.
So for noon sakin and tanween, we have
four different rules.
One of them is?
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. That says if the letters like seen, sheen, fa, sa, da, ta, va,
the rest of
dal, dal, za. So these letters, jim, if they come right after the tanween or noon sakin, you hide the sound of the noon. Pronounce it with the sheen sound.
Yes.
Good. Read it once.
فَالْيَوْمَ نَاسَاهُمْ.
أحسن. That's it. كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَاءَ. The mad is
wajib
to extend for six counts. يَوْمِهِمْ هَذَا وَمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجَحَدُونَ. That's the last one. Qalqala. Echo the sound of jim, which is sakin.
Yes.
Time to practice the recitation. Ready? Ready to recite the ayah now?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, listen and practice with us. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا
الذين اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا وغرتهم الحياة الدنيا
فاليوم ننساهم كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا وما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون
فاليوم ننساهم كما نسوا لقاء يومهم هذا وما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Thank you so much. That's all from us for today, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us. See you in the next session. Thanks, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, for being with us in this session. Stay with us, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. See you in the next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio